Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Bark Radio listeners, we are in for a very pleasant surprise today. We have with us an author, Susanna Charlson, who wrote the book, Scent of the Missing. And this book is about her experiences as a search and rescue dog handler. And Susanna, welcome to Bark Radio.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. I think most of our listeners know that I have some background in search and rescue, so although we could talk for several hours, we won't do that today. but I want you first, Susanna, tell folks where you're located, what SAR team you work with, and give them a brief idea of the kind of searches that y'all go on.
Okay. Well, I am in the Dallas, Texas area, and we serve North Texas primarily, but historically we've gone all over Texas and, in fact, all over the country, out of state as well, on extended searches. And I'm with Mark 9 Search and Rescue out of Dallas. We are one of two search and rescue teams based here. And we do a wide variety of searches, and our dogs are required to certify in disaster work, wilderness work, and urban searching as well. So it can go everything from vehicle-to-vehicle crime scene detection work, some forensic work, to mass casualty work after a tornado has hit or some other kind of disaster, and then right to, you know, a missing Alzheimer's patient who has wandered out the back door of a farm and stumbled into wilderness. Right. And in that, of course, as well as is in Texas, we've got so many lakes and man-made lakes at that, and a lot of water recreation. So we end up doing quite a number of water-related searches.
Right. Now, your dog's trained nose up and nose down?
Yes. They start, most of them, depending on their breed and their inclination, start out as air scent dogs, and then they will go on, those who show the aptitude and the interest, into trailing work. Every once in a while, we'll have a dog come on the team that is primarily a tracker and will stay a tracker, beagles and that kind of thing. But Puzzle is both nose up, nose down, yes, and she's an off lead worker primarily as well.
And isn't that grand to be able to work them off lead?
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, and it's her favorite. It's her preferred mode of working. So it's lovely to have a dog that's got the commitment and also the reliability that I can take her off lead in and let her do her job.
So tell folks about Puzzle.
Well, Puzzle is a six-year-old golden retriever, and she came to me at 10 weeks old after she had been aptitude tested with her entire litter at 6 weeks old and again at 10 weeks old. She came from a breeder who primarily breeds working dogs, and the entire litter was tested. And with the knowledge that one of the potential owners was going to be a search and rescue handler. And so they were really looking at all the puppy's performance in terms of willingness to work with a human and drive and curiosity and traits, that kind of thing. And she emerged as the star candidate. So I didn't pick her. She was actually picked for me by the evaluators and by our team's head trainer, and I met her for the first time on the morning that I flew out to get her. So she began scent work training at 10 weeks old here at the house, and we had to wait for her last parvo shot before she could be paused on the ground. And then once the vet gave her the all clear, at 11 weeks old, she began her very first search training, you know, with the little playful, joyful runaways that we do that teach the dog that finding a human and finding the human quickly comes with high praise and a high reward. And that's what started. And she certified before she was two. She was about 20 months old when she certified in wilderness, urban, and disaster.
That's fabulous.
That's awesome.
So they did a good job of choosing your pup for you.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And you know, the book, I think, you know, and she's a six-year-old dog and such a reliable partner now that the book reminds me when I go back and look at it just, you know, how long the road was to get here, because she was immediately really a strong candidate for search and rescue, and she loved the field work, and I never had to worry about her dithering on a search, you know, on training searches. It was her best fun. But she was so smart and so motivated and so driven that my challenge really was here at home, was, you know, finding some semblance of a mellow dog who would blend in with the established dogs in the household, who were all little, and you know, me just mentally aware that this was a dog about which new rules were written. she was going to be, you know, curious all the time, trying to discover things all the time, and I really had to learn how to keep up with that super-driven intelligence.
And you're so right. I mean, I've got an 8-year-old yellow lab at home who reminds me very much of that, who no longer hasn't for years been involved with search and rescue. But same thing, high drive, just wired for sound and ready to rock and roll from the day she was born. And keeping that dog happy and occupied and not driving everyone nuts was a big challenge.
Yes.
So, yeah, I get that. But obviously, you worked it all out. And here's one thing from your book, Susanna. I just want you to share this because I'm a dog trainer now, and I love things that I've never heard of before. And you happened to have, at the time Puzzle was a puppy, a blind dog.
Yes.
And
blind
you talk
and
about Scuppy teaching Puzzle about scent.
Okay, yeah, I would love to talk about Scuppy because, oddly enough, he also ended up doing some service with the search and rescue team in a very unusual way. Scuppy was a 21-year-old Pomeranian that I got a call from an animal shelter, and this was a very old, blind, deaf Pom who had been surrendered to the shelter. And no one wanted to adopt him initially because he was blind and deaf and old. And I got a call, and somebody knew I had Poms and had rescue Poms, and they wondered if I would be interested in taking him in for what they thought would be his last few good months. And we got it all set up for me to go get him, and then it turned out he couldn't be neutered because he was so old. And apparently the law in that city said that the shelter could not adopt out an unneutered pet. And so it looked like he was going to be euthanized through, you know, a bureaucratic thing. And ultimately we worked out a sneaky situation where I took him in as a foster with the understanding that I would just foster him forever.
Good.
Yes, yes. And you know, as you know in the book, it was a very covert operation done after dark. And it's something I'm so glad I did because Scuppy was a powerful, amazing, gracious little dog. He lived another 2.5 years, dying just after he was 23. And I was already on the search and rescue team, but I watched this blind, deaf dog negotiate his environment, and so much of it outside the house was totally by scent. Inside the house, I think he used scent and vibration as well, you know, foot vibration on our wood floors, but outside he negotiated by scent. And so here comes hard-charging little 10-week-old Puzzle in, and she is fast and strong and willful and, you know, unto herself, completely self-centered. She kind of bowls over the other younger Poms, but something in Scuppy caught her attention and some grain of gentleness in her. And she got very attached to him, and in the backyard, she would just follow him like his little wingman. And where he went in the yard, she went in the yard, you know, and when he stopped to just sit down and enjoy the breezes, she would sit beside him. She was very attendant. And I learned that I could call Scuppy by going outside, standing upwind of him, and waving my hands. And I'd see that little nose pop up, you know, he'd do the little head pop. And
wow.
If he was ready to come in, if he wasn't ready to come in, he'd just wag. If he was ready to come in, he would follow the scent to me. And what did Puzzle do but model him? And it was wonderful because, you know, sometimes you're a dog trainer. Sometimes you have these puppies who have that that willfulness period where they don't necessarily want to come when they're called. And Puzz learned from Scuppy that coming to your person is a good thing. And she learned how to come to your person without being physically called by voice. You know, she learned to follow by scent. And she modeled from him. I am just so sure of it. And I saw the modeling continue when we were out in the search training field and how intently she would watch the grown dogs do a scenario and do a sector. And there's actually a picture in the book of her at 11 weeks old watching a mature certified dog work rubble, a collapsed house from a fire that was at the training, had been moved to the training academy. And we had a victim, you know, voluntarily buried in that rubble. Mm-hmm. And the big dog is working the search, and you can see Puzzle just staring at him, just rapt with attention. And I think she was always inclined to be a dog who watched other dogs, but I am absolutely sure that it was Scuppy that really first taught her to use her nose to find humans, even if it was just coming in when you're called.
That's huge. That is such a unique story, and because you are who you are, you saw it unfold. It might have happened to someone else, and they would have never paid attention. So it's fabulous that you were there. You observed. Scuppy was a trainer. He was your assistant
mm-hmm.
trainer.
Mm-hmm. And I think in one way or another, Scuppy trained us all.
Oh.
And, you know, you hit on something. I think one of the things about Scent of the Missing that I hoped to bring in for people who don't have search and rescue dogs is the opportunity we have to look at the dogs in our own homes and pay attention to the gifts they've got mm-hmm. and all the instruction and the wisdom and the insight they have to offer from their totally dog perspective if we are just paying attention to it. You know, if we're just watching how they process the world and negotiate the world. It's pretty instructive.
Awareness is a powerful tool, and a lot of folks just aren't, and it's too bad. They miss so much of the world.
Yes, well, and it's a thing I think that we can cultivate. I know the Palms got me ready for Puzzle, and in turn, 6 years of working with Puzzle has me now, you know, reflecting back and looking at every new dog that enters the house, or truly every dog I meet. And of course, mm-hmm. on this book tour, I've been meeting a lot of dogs, so it's lovely.
Oh, it's fabulous. Okay, a couple of things really quickly here. One, I have to just say I made a note because I was waiting for this phrase to show up in the book, and it happened in Chapter 6 because it's one of my favorites from when I was in Search and Rescue, and it's trust your dog.
Yes, yes.
That's so huge.
It is huge, and it's not always easy, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that dogs have, you know, a gift of scent that is easily 40 times better than ours, and that's at minimum, with some dogs, you know, 50 and 60 times better than ours.
Yep.
And we know they've got it, and, you know, a whole foundation of skills have been revealed to us, not in just search and rescue, but these dogs who can detect cancer and dogs that can predict seizures, you know, before they happen. We know it's there, but I think when you're an adult operating on adult logic, looking at spaces the way a human would do, we filter out possibility. And we think somebody's lost, they would never get in here or they would never go there. And the dog doesn't operate with any of that. The dog just goes into the sector, works the wind, and says, yep, right over here.
And that's even, about him.
Yes, it is. It is. And we have to overcome our own logic and trust the dog. And boy, it's really to our peril, our jeopardy as handlers when we ignore that. Because you know what, and I'm sure you saw this as well, what we know in search and rescue is that people don't necessarily operate by the lost person behavior studies that are out there. People do
unusual things.
You bet
your butt they don't.
Yeah, they do unusual things. And we need to trust the dog to tell us, because the dog doesn't use those filters.
Man, I'd say all of that, it just boils it all down to what scent dogs do. And they're so incredible, and they and just the whole search and rescue world. First, I want to thank you, all your teammates, search and rescue teams everywhere. You all, are you a volunteer, by the way, or is this a paid gig?
No, we are volunteers, 100%.
That's what I thought. And that's what I love is that people who I know in search and rescue are all volunteers.
Yes.
And they, you give so much. And what you do, you know, bringing them home. That's what your job is. And so thank you. I want you to just, like, as we wind up here, Susanna, what would you like to share with our listeners about your book?
Well, it's a personal story, of course, but it is a story that I think resonates with anyone who loves animals and who is aware of the mysteries that the animals bring to us daily in our homes. And I think it's a story also of compassion and engagement and what it means to love and partner a dog who then both of you go into the community and demonstrate love and community by serving people who really need you and bringing in an animal who has a unique contribution to make in the rescue and recovery of people who are lost.
And is there anything finer, Susanna, than a canine partner?
You know, I'm a pilot, and I've had plenty of co-pilots, and I've been fond of them all in one way or another, but there has been nothing like partnering this dog.
I totally agree. Well, Susanna, tell folks where they can find you on the web.
Okay. Well, the book has a support website, scentofthemissing.com. And it's just scentofthemissing.com, which is super easy. I have a website as well, SusannaCharlson.com, and there are contact buttons on both of those. And I can certainly be found there. I'm also on Facebook as Susanna Charlson, and I welcome connections through Facebook. We're on Twitter as Puzzle Charlson. Puzzle Charlson fit. Susanna Charlson did not on Twitter. So that's
you
the way that works. But yeah, exactly. But I love interacting with people who read the book or who are simply interested in dogs and partnering dogs and just welcome connection of any sort.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Your book is fabulous. I love that the world is reading it, that folks who know nothing about search and rescue are just going to have a better understanding because they've read your book. Thanks so much, Susanna.
Thank you
very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.